ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गु लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्त्रिपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदिनतारिणम्। So today is July 27th, Thursday. In Alachua we are serving Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 11, Chapter 11, and Text 16 and 17. Both has a part, one has a part. That's 16. Na stumbita does not praise, na nindeta does not criticize. Kurvatah, those who are working sadhu very nicely, or sadhu very badly, ba or badatah, those who are speaking guna dosadbham from good and bad qualities, bharjitah, freed, samadrik, seeing things equally, munihi, a saintly sage. Na stubita na nindeta kurvatah sadhu asadhuva vadat guna dosadbham भर्जितः समाद्रिन् मुनिः। नास्तुबिता न निन्देह कुर्वतः साधु साधु वा वदत गुणदोषध्वम् भर्जितः समाद्रिन् मुनिः। नास्तु वीता न निन्देत कुर्वतः साधु असाधु वा वदत गुणा दोषध्वम् वर्जितः समद्विन् मुनि। क्लिश्चन् नास्तु वीता न निन्देता कुर्वतः साधु साधु वदतो गुण दोषद्वम् वर्जिता समद्वीत मुनि। साधु साधु भगतो गुण दोष
वैष्णवीता
न निंदेत भगता साधु साधु
Bhagato Junado Sarbham Vajita Samadrin Muni Nastubitana Nindeta Vata Sadhu Sadhuva Bhagato Junado Sarbham
Translation by the sincere followers of Srila Prabhupada. A saintly sage sees with equal vision and therefore is not affected by that which is materially good or bad. Indeed, although he observes others performing good and bad work and speaking properly and improperly, the sage does not praise or criticize anyone. Text 17. Together. Na kurjan na vadet kinchin na dhayet sadho sadhuva atma rama na vitta Vicharje Jarabhanmuni. For the purpose of maintaining his body, a liberated sage should not act, speak, or contemplate in terms of material good or bad. Rather, he should be detached in all material circumstances. And taking pleasure in self-realization, he should wonder about engage in this liberated life. Style, appearing like a retorted person to outsider. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, this verse describes a type of discipline recommended for the Jnana Yogis. That Jnana Yogis, including us too, we are slowly, slowly progressing towards pure Bhakti Yogi. Jnana Yogi means we are analytically still studying, but following the same path. Who by intelligence try to understand that they are not their material bodies. One who is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, however, accepts and rejects material things in terms of their usefulness in the loving service of Lord Krishna. One who is trying to preach Krishna consciousness should be seen as very intelligent and not jarabat. Or stunted, as described here. Although a devotee of the Lord does not act, speak, or contemplate for his personal sense gratification, he remains very busy working, speaking, and meditating in the devotional service of the Lord. The devotee makes elaborate plans to engage all the fallen souls in the Lord Krishna's service so they can be purified and go back home, back to Godhead. Merely rejecting material things is not perfect consciousness. One must see everything as the property of the Lord and meant for the Lord's pleasure. One busily engaged in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement has no time to make material distinctions and thus automatically comes to the liberated platform. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Shahadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunnavadi Paschatta Deshata Vancha Kalpa Karuvescha Kripa Sindhubha Evacha Patitanam Pavanebho Vaishnavebho Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare First of all, thank you for all coming to participate this beautiful program we have in Alachua Ishkan Temple. The highest form of devotional practice recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are actually executed every day in this temple. Not seeing it is unfortunate or misfortune. Everything we do in this temple since morning till evening, it's all draw only one attention, pure bhakti. And by pure bhakti, we get the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chanda and then we enter into spiritual realm, Vishuddha Satta. Srila Prabhupada says, we don't have access to enter into spiritual world at this moment, but we do have access to be engaged in pure devotional service. And both pure devotional service and Sri Krishna, spiritual world, exist on absolute platform. So is there any difference to be in Golok Vrindavan or in Alachua temple? In one sense, no. This is in Bhagavad Gita's second chapter, last verse in the purport Prabhupada writes. Therefore, if we can access to the devotional service all the time by chanting, and whatever the devotional service the temple need, distributing books and all other, is as good or as equal value as entering into Golok Vrindavan. Here, both purport describes about the vision of liberated soul. So many things comes in our mind that when Yogeshwar Prabhu was asking Srila Prabhupada, what are you seeing when you look around? Am I seeing the same thing? Prabhupada said, what do you see? Then he said, no, Prabhupada, we want to know what you see. So Prabhupada said, like this, I see the soul, but everybody looking at big tree. But Prabhupada said, he's looking at the soul. And he gave a very analytical study that because of the soul, the big giant tree is changing the body. Tree does not grow. Tree changes body. Prabhupada was very heavy. We do not grow. We are changing our body. Our body doesn't grow. There's a big difference. I never thought about it, but deeply you think with the dictionary. Prabhupada was 100% guiding us to be in that transcendental platform. So Prabhupada said, I'm seeing the soul, and I seeing the super soul who gives the soul interdependent, like sun rising, water is coming for the tree to suck. These are called interdependent. It's not sanctioned by the tree or by the soul. It's sanctioned by the Paramatma. So Prabhupada said, I see the soul, I see the super soul, and I also see the super soul's desire, Maya created this big body. But common people, what they see? They see the tree first. They're missing the whole connection. So Prabhupada said practically, so now how can we develop that? We can start seeing it and pray to Prabhupada to show us everything we see. First we see Krishna's relationship. Krishna has a relationship with everything. Maya doesn't have a relationship with anything. But I see the Maya product, the body first. There are many examples is given. The materially, I was talking to this scientist, materially when we see things like this iPhone, the light is backing this phone first of all. If there is no light, I cannot even see this iPhone. This iPhone is backed up by light. It goes through my pupil, you know, this round circle right here in the eye. Then it goes to the retina and it goes to the brain. And the brain has to have an impression of this iPhone. Otherwise, brain cannot dictate Pran Govinda Das to call this iPhone. So brain has some impression, and impression comes from the desire and attraction. Contemplation, reflection, those create the impression in the brain. So then the brain dictates me and I say, oh, this is iPhone. I know. This is how material vision develops. But I asked this professor, do you know Kathal? He said, no. I said, because your brain don't have the information of Kathal. Now some of you may not know Kathal. I grew up with eating Kathal. It's a jackfruit, but I didn't say the English. The jackfruit is a big tree. You know, if you have one jackfruit, my brother, sister, that's our breakfast for a long time. we would eat a lot. So this professor could not. I said, because your brain doesn't have an impression. So mundane things we see by the mundane impression. Spiritual things we do not see by mundane impression. Mundane brain, mundane mind cannot dictate us to see spiritual things. It has to be imparted from the heart of pure devotee like Prabhupada to the followers. I will narrate some of the pastimes of different devotees. But before that, in the purport, I made a few points. The Jiva Goswami Pad says, the Jnana Yogi is disciplined by their intelligence. So in our spiritual path, those who are advanced devotees, so please forgive me, you lead your spiritual path by the love you have for Prabhupada and Krishna. Those who are advanced, you are always guided by that feeling, the ecstasy experience you have when you are with Prabhupada or when you think of Krishna, Radha Shyamsundar. That spiritual love guides you. But those who don't have this, they should be guided always by intelligence. Right now. Without intelligence, if they are guided by mind, they will be disturbed. So in spiritual path, this is Jiva Goswami path, very nice, in the beginning of the purport. The Jnana Yogis means average devotee who just joined. They are intelligent. Intelligent means you have to know some philosophy. Prabhupada said you have to have an intelligent and philosophical inclination, both. Then bhakti yoga can be progressive. Tasyaiva hiyate prajayate kovida. That's how he translated in the beginning. He says both has to be there. Means, intelligent means you have to have a backing by some reasoning. Oh, the scripture says this. My Guru Maharaj says this. Prabhupada said this. Then those things will back. And then reason will go, okay, I don't want to do this. I will do this because scripture says this. If there is not enough backing, intelligence cannot be applied. Mind will take over. The second point on the purport, today's purport, the bhakti yogi is anukullesha sankalpa patikullesha bharjanam. This is what the base of that paragraph. That those who are sincere, serious, we have to be constantly thinking. Am I willing to give up something that will bring pleasure to Prabhupada? Am I willing? That has to come from me. Association of devotee Prabhupada says can help me, but ultimate decision I have to make. Am I willing to do something now that will bring pleasure to Prabhupada and Radha Shyam Sundar? These two things, to give up and accepting or rejecting, these two things has to be willing that will bring pleasure to them. On that basis, if I can progress, then that paragraph, Jiva Goswami Pada made it very clear that we should contemplate. Out of the Saranagati six folds, these two are the functional. The other four are internalizing, but one of those six are the essential principle of surrender. And that is, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his song, he writes, Dhanayatma Nivedana Goptritte Varana Avasharakshive Krishna Vishasa Palana. This one thing out of sixfold, we must constantly remind us and hold on to it in our heart. Otherwise surrender will not take place. What is it? That Sri Krishna will eternally always maintain and protect me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if we do not hold on to that concept, other aspect of surrender, favorable, unfavorable, all things are secondary. The Krishna will always protect and maintain me. This I have to individually hold on to in my heart. The third point on the purport, Prabhupada quote this, Pranache Jar Sehetu Prasad. How much I understand Krishna consciousness, how do I know? How do you know? Anybody knows how much you have understanding? Prabhupada told this to Hari Krishna Maharaj. This is nice, you glorifying your guru in the temple. But when you face the public and the challenges come, you establish your guru's position and his teachings. That is real glory of your guru. Hari Krishna Maharaj, you could see his face like, wow. It was nice, we should glorify Prabhupada in the temple every day, but we should glorify, the real glory of Prabhupada is when you preach. When you preach, that preaching time, actually how much faith I have or individually we have, will come out. That is the only way we can test how much individually we have faith on this process. The next point, it's not too many, just 6 points I mean. When I read the purport, I just make some point. Because it's very confidential, those purports. The whole Bhagavatam is like this. You may face in life, while you are practicing this, that it takes so much energy, so much endeavor. Where do I get time? Where do I get energy? Get up, chant, go to Mangalati. Oh boy, it's just like, and I want to do more, but I don't even have time. You feel like this. But in this purport, this little paragraph reminds me of Jiva Goswami Pada's conclusion given. One thing only, if we can do, we'll get tremendous connection of with unlimited energy, is that transfer I-ness to Krishna and devotiness. Everything I want to do, I even come to temple, I used to think like, okay, I'm here, who else seeing me? I didn't say that, but that's what the consciousness is there. I'm playing Nidanga, everybody saw I'm playing Nidanga. I'm in front of the deity saw I'm. That I-ness has to be removed. I-ness has to be removed, it is for the pleasure of Prabhupada and Krishna, I'm here. That Krishna-centeredness has to come, then energy within us will be tremendous to serve. Otherwise you will feel always tired, weak, that's not possible. Prabhupada came in the middle of the night in Vasudev Prabhu's house. Prabhupada never met him before. First instruction, Vasudev Prabhu, oh, how are you in Fiji? good, Maharaj, you have come, I'm very happy. He said, do you chant? He said, no, you start chanting 16 rounds from today. This is Vasudev Prabhu told me personally. This is his relationship with Prabhupada, first meeting. And his wife is a very good cook. I can go on talking about her relationship, how Prabhupada loved her cooking. But she was telling a story that how Prabhupada came in the middle of the night, the airplane arrived late, and they had a big feast Prabhupada took. And then they took rest by 1:30, and Prabhupada got up at 3:30, and he told some other, there was a other sannyasi also, and said, get up now. He said, Prabhupada just went to sleep. He said, you are sannyasi, act like liberated sannyasi, don't act like a conditioned soul. Prabhupada was fresh. He wondered, okay, it's good to say Prabhupada is Mahabhagavat, he is liberated, so we don't have to do anything. But where is he getting this energy? Because he has internal, pure devotion to please his Guru and Krishna. He is not thinking of his own I-ness. And Prabhupada said, if we transfer this I-ness to Krishna's-ness, Krishna in the center, we will also feel that energy. The next paragraph, another point, the only thing we can do really in this life, that we should be aware that anything we get attraction, anything we are attracted in this world is not coming from this life. It is coming from the result of previous life as an impression in the heart. We have no control what attraction is coming through in life, but we do have a control what we want to focus and contemplate or take it. That we have control. We cannot control what is passing through in our life, but we do have control what I want to dwell or delight from. That is very nice, just before the last paragraph given. So if we focus on that, then we can progress very quick. And the last one, it says, I made a little headings. The pure devotees are not interested in bhoga and tega, because whole world, actually even the karmis, when they see this world, this is a place of enjoyment. They don't see there is a birth, death, old age, disease. The Carol, one of the jeweler in San Diego, I heard the news, so I talked to her. I said, is it true, like in the funeral fire, that your husband's body is getting cremated and you are texting to a person you want to date? She said, yes, I was lonely. Govind, I was lonely. She was honest in a sense. This world, nobody in karmic world sees as a birth, death, old age, disease. Only the Buddhists see. Please, I beg you, this association is the top class association that Prabhupada has given. Nowhere in the whole universe you will find. You can go to heaven, even Brahmaloka, they don't talk Krishna consciousness so deeply as we talk here. If we can just be little, really humble ourselves and start seeing it, that this opportunity given, set up by Prabhupada, such a high standard, it is not even possible for Brahmaji to get Brahmara Durlabha Prem, Koribare Daan, Sikhaya Saranagati, Bhagatara Paan. Brahmara Durlabha Prem, even Brahma cannot get. You may think like, really? I mean, I don't know how to believe it. That's your mind. You have to discipline your mind. Mind will divert you. The association we had in Alachua, we don't appreciate enough. I should not say that. I do not appreciate enough. This type of topics about Radha Krishna's pastime, how to go back home and serve, our constitutional nature, our conditional nature, our cognitional nature, these topics nobody talks in the whole universe except the Hare Krishna people in this planet only. It's a fact. Thank you. It's a fact. If we can start opening our eyes and really appreciate every devotee that by Krishna's grace, Prabhupada's grace, that they come in our life to help us. Not that I'm here to help them, but I should start helping, serving them. Then the last paragraph is very sweet, that we will not fall for exploitation, that like karmis, or demonizing or renouncing. We are not interested of enjoying or renouncing. We are interested for utilizing. Everything for Krishna's pleasure. Everything belongs to him. And how can I participate to engage in these festivals of, every day we have a festival. Our mind should be engaged in Krishna consciousness. That is a festival. Our intelligence should be engaged. This is how we progress. So this is the end of this purport. Now there are many examples in our scriptures given. I'm going to narrate a little pastimes of Srila Prabhupada when the devotees came from book distribution in early days in Bombay, and some of them were new and they expressed frustration, disturbance, how those businessmen don't appreciate Krishna consciousness in Bombay. It's these early days before. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu narrated this story. I would like to request each of you to think while you're hearing this Prabhupada's explaining this sixth vision, the people in this world has, and three of them belongs to Karmi vision according to Prabhupada, and three of them for us, devotee vision. While I'm narrating this in a short, see in your life if you saw someone has that, or you experience yourself in your spiritual journey, one of those three. The first three we are not interested, those are vision of karmis that Prabhupada says, but I'm going to tell you what they are. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu says that when Prabhupada saw them came back with the some books left, and they say, oh, it was hot, Prabhupada, and the people, they think we are like CIA agent, we are like spy, not appreciating the Lord Chaitanya's movement. And that's how it was in Calcutta early days, I remember. We would get pulling sika by the other Bengalis. I'm also Bengali. By pulling sika at least 10, 15, 20 times every day in Calcutta. It was like a common thing in 79, 78. It was like common thing. We go book distribution every day, we get pulled by sika, and we are addressed by CIA agent. They think we also join as Indian to get some money or some spying something. I don't know what it was in their mind, but it was there. Right now is opposite. So appreciated because of preaching goes on so good. I found similar verse what Prabhupada says. I don't know where he got this from, but we take it. But similar conception in 4th canto, chapter 4, verse 12, in case if you are interested, like why did Prabhupada get this? I'm not saying that's where Prabhupada got it, but similar. Prabhupada also narrated there. He says, all the book distributor, they sat down, and Prabhupada was staying in a place where very wealthy man, then many pastimes took place. Mr. Shetty, Mrs. Shetty, they told me so fascinating story of Prabhupada those days. And then Prabhupada made them sit down, and then Prabhupada says, you all should know that there are one class of people. So I put number 6, is that okay? So I grade it. Number 6 type of people, Prabhupada said, there is one class of people, they see everything in this world bad. Everywhere bad, always some problem, always something wrong. And they focus and dwell whole day, and they talk about it. Like Duryodhan, before the war, Bhishma Dev told to Dronacharya, maybe we should have one test. So they called Yudhishthira Maharaj and Duryodhan separately in separate room, and they interviewed He says, the war is going to start day after tomorrow. I want you to take this chariot and travel the world very quick and see how many good people in this world. Duryodhan says, yes, Gurudev. Yes, grandfather. He rode on that chariot. The chariot was very quick, almost fly all over the world. And he went travel all over the world and he came back. And they sent also Yudhishthira Maharaj opposite direction to come back, so they never meet each other. And they came somewhere at the same time, but they asked individually, separately. So they asked Duryodhan, so how many good people in this world? Said, none. At least one? Yes, that's me. Not even more of my brothers, my relatives, they are. Some extent. And then they interviewed Yudhishthira Maharaj, that I'm not going to tell later, because that's, according to Prabhupada, is the lowest class among human beings. But they do exist in Alachua, Gainesville, all over the world, Prabhupada says. Better than that, the fifth class, I'm saying the fifth class, people will see a little bad in something and they will try to manipulate, to magnify that bad quality into like giant things happen. Somebody stole $5. He said, you know, this guy is a thief. He could be a bank robber. They go on and glorify, literally magnify his little bad quality such out of proportion that that person completely finished. That also exists all over the world. Then Prabhupada says, better than that, there are a lot of people in this world who sees good and bad simultaneously, but they choose to avoid the good and just think bad. When good intervene, they don't let stay too long, they just focus on the bad. And after that, Srila Prabhupada says, up to this, Karmi's vision. That's how Karmi sees in this world. So we don't have to practice this. Neither we are encouraging anybody to practice, but Prabhupada said we should not. I could relate because that's how I was, you know, it's very quick. Now Prabhupada says, but the devotee's vision are this above three categories. Now I'm requesting again, see if in your life, if you had that experience or you met some other devotee who also had that vision and how they felt. Then Prabhupada says, there are devotees who sees good and bad every day, everywhere, and they're trying to focus on good, but very hard sometimes, and they struggle with intelligence to bring the good of the person or the place or time, whatever it is, and try to avoid the bad. Just the opposite of Karmi's vision. And there are past times I can remember that. I want you to also tell me that. Then above that, there is another class of devotee that they see good in others, also sometimes bad, but they consciously never promote the bad or always, but they are aware of it, but they always find the good quality of the other person or place or things. And they literally glorify that good quality. Like Jaydev Goswami. I won't say that story, but Jaydev Goswami, who wanted to kill him, and he glorified them. And the previous example of the devotee is like Ekanath Prabhu, who always spitting on him, but he always saw a good fortune through that bad thing. He never actually saw the bad thing. Even the bad thing was happening in front of others. Can you imagine every time you come back from Ganges bath, there is a person who hates so much that he spit all over your body. You have to go back to take bath. Because 6 times he did it. But he never saw anything bad. That's the end of the story. I can't say because I want to hear from him. And then the Prabhupada said, then there is a top class devotee who find a good quality among the worst bad people, a little bit. And he takes that good quality and he dedicates himself. I think he's talking about himself, Prabhupada. Because many stories, now I remember, that's how he is. He said, they fanned that good quality in that person and let it grow to a blazing fire by engaging in Krishna consciousness. Parashar, successor of Ramanujacharya, faced that, his own god brother, who wanted to kill him with poison, with charanamrita. You think we have some story? This story exists, all this story previously too. But Parashar did not see. And if you want to know more about that story, I'll tell you another. Now I want to see the hand of someone who would share these three perceptions, three visions Prabhupada wants us to have all the time. Not the previous three ones, these three. Anybody would try to say what are those three purposes? Please. Yes. Prabhu, say, use the microphone.
To see the good and the bad, and to see only the good but be aware of the bad, and to see only the good.
Very good. Prabhupada said the same thing, that he struggles to focus on the good because the bad thing is popping in the mind, but somehow or other he tried to pull it. And if he tried to pull it, then that is devotee's vision. Then you are devotee, you are not a karmi. Anybody had an experience like that in your personal life? Yes? I'm sure you did. Would you like to share in a shorter version? No? What are the next vision purposes? The second class vision is that there are good and bad, but this devotee is so much focused on good that he always never see bad. He stays on that good. And how he stays, Prabhupada said, he glorifies the good quality of that person. By glorifying the good quality of that person, the bad is disappeared from his vision. And the first class, what did Prabhupada say? Can somebody please share? Yes, Mother Janaki, can you give her a time? And if you know any pastime, please, to establish this.
The first class sees even just a little spark of good and fans it. And so you gave an example, Srila Prabhupada is always fanning that. One that comes to mind is a story I heard about by Srisika Prabhu. There was one young boy that was a little challenging in the temple and very difficult, and so he brought him up and he was sitting next to him, and then over time he put all this energy into him, and now he's become a very nice young man, and everybody in the community has witnessed this transformation by putting that love into him, that he transformed that child.
Very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on, you have this vision. Mother Madhumati and then Adikarta.
I just wanted to tell you, just made me think about a personal story. This was I was in Philadelphia, and I was a new devotee, and I was in charge of taking care of the guest room. So this devotee came, and I did my service, taking care of her, whatever. I could see this devotee did not see anything bad I did, whatever I did, but just she focused on just the good of that I brought her prasad or whatever. And she magnified it so much. She magnified it so much that she wrote a letter to my spiritual master that this devotee has done such nice service and she took care of me so nicely. I didn't do anything, but she just magnified it so much. And that devotee's name is Mother Bhakti from here from Gainesville. So that's a devotee.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel?
I was
if you reflect at that time.
I felt humble and I felt happy and I felt encouraged to do my service better. I definitely felt very humbled that this person would glorify something like that.
What can we learn a principle from this that you think you can word it out?
Are you doing experiential learning here?
Well, this is our life, isn't it? This is our life.
Johnny, we are doing a very good job.
Tell me something that you learned.
The principle is that, I guess the principle is to always see the good in others. And I guess that's the principle. Is that the right thing? Okay.
That's good. And you felt happy about it.
Yeah.
You want every devotee to have that.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Adi Gautapur.
Well, one thing for Srila Prabhupada said is the guru's duty to see the faults in his disciples. So, you know, it's one who chastises his disciples, he's a better guru than if the guru just says, oh, everything you do is great. But getting back to the first point is that when, you know, this just, everyone knows the story, is when the down and out man came to 22nd Avenue with a roll of toilet paper. And he gave that, and Prabhupada, you know, said, oh, he's doing nice devotional service. So, and I think each, a pure devotee would treat everybody differently, according to what they need. And Prabhupada would chastise his most advanced devotees, but he might be very liberal with his neophyte disciples, because their faith may get too disturbed if he chastised them.
So that toilet paper person got a entrance in devotional service. Would we like to see every Alachua citizen do that? You're doing this every day, you're engaging people in Krishna house, singing and well, not, I don't mean toilet paper, but something the temple needs, our Krishna consciousness. Thank you. That will make everybody happy. Dharma Rajguru?
Just a follow-up with Adikata Prabhu's comments there on the Guru. I would just like to add something to that, in that even when the Guru chastises his advanced devotees, as the example was given, is that he does that in a constructive way, and that comes out from the mood of the Guru that makes it acceptable. So I just want to make that point that should be very clear. And also, sometimes when I know, like, in my own case, I was the personal secretary and servant of my Guru Maharaj, and chastisement was almost the only word in his dictionary at one point. You know, it was very, very strong, and I was the one who would face it for literally every other devotee in the Dhyana Yatra. And one time he told me, he said, you know, that he's really sad that he cannot chastise or correct one of my god brothers. And then I asked why. He said because he cannot take chastisement, or he cannot see that when he's doing that he's doing it in a constructive way to help us grow, you know. So then I started thinking back, and I asked him about his chastising me also, and then he mentioned the same thing. He said that he's doing that in a constructive way And I can see it by my own experience of being more attached to devotional service rather than being, you know, pushed away from devotional service. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that mood like has to be there. I just want to mention that point.
Very nice. Because in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings with Sanatana Goswami Pad, almost all the pastime of Mahaprabhu's, there were a lot of chastisement. Mahaprabhu chastised Jagadananda for instructing Sanatana Goswami Pad. But if you look at the view Sanatana Goswami Pad had, he says, now I know that how close this Jagadananda to you, that you chastise him because you care for him, you have love for him, and you are respecting me because I am outcast, you know, I am outside the internal association. Then Mahaprabhu felt bad. No, you are very close to me, don't say it like this. He said, Prabhu, you don't chastise me. Chastisement is as important, maybe more, than just smiling and giving blessing. Because chastisement only comes from a one level, that the person who is chastising, he has a deep intention to correct for ultimate benefit of that person. So it is good. But Adigata Prabhu also made a point that not everybody can take it. That's why Komal Sraddha, new fight should not be like that. Any other, Jamaraj Prabhu?
Thank you for your class. I see you're using some of the learning techniques that you're learning from
the mercy of Janmashtami Prabhu and Mother Janaki.
My question is, should a person be qualified before they chastise?
Mm-hmm. In Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur very clearly says that judging others, chastisement, those we can try to escape, but we cannot. The problem is not judging others is wrong, that judging others with my own inference is wrong. If Prabhupada say, don't associate with this type of mentality, and I don't associate, that's not judging. That is proper, that is part of bhakti. But on my own, if I figure it out, he's good, she's not good, she's good, he's not good, who is teaching me? This is my own impression. That is wrong. But if senior devotees guide us and we follow the senior devotee advanced Prabhupada's instruction, those judgment or judging is not bad. So chastisement over there, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, chastisement is only done by the guru and super soul. They are doing it anyway. They are going to do it. In Alachua, I see another angle where I don't see any devotee suffer really. If devotee is going through, it is only arrangement of Prabhupada and Krishna. I literally feel like to challenge this. But if they agree to accept, then we can discuss. It's not possible any devotee who has taken shelter actually suffer. It is a purification arranged by Krishna and Prabhupada for each of us. So they are already doing it. But as an ordinary devotee like me, I should not. Chastisement only belongs to a person who has so much love and affection for that soul. For his ultimate benefit, maybe he can chastise. But to judge, no. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Yes, good. Thank you. One more quick question. Does it take intelligence to hear the holy name?
Does it require intelligence?
To just hear it.
The holy name is always eternally transcendental. Intelligence, material intelligence belongs to this world. Intelligence can guide us to focus on the holy name. Intelligence cannot give us holy name access. But intelligence is required to stay in spiritual path. Thank you. Janmashtami Prabhu. Oh, sorry. Can I have the Mataji first also? Like we go back and forth so that. Thank you.
Equal opportunity. Thank you, Haribo. I was wondering as well, because I feel like a lot of times The chastisement comes up in conversation, but in scripture it often says that you should be unaffected by praise and chastisement equally. And I don't know, I feel like it also is important for your spiritual growth to be praised and not just chastised all the time.
That's applicable for the karmi, and that's applicable for the new fight, and that's applicable for, it depends who is accepting it. If I know my real interest in life, that I am eternal servant of the servant, and I want to please Prabhupada and Krishna by engaging, and if somebody comes in a form of chastisement to actually push me forward towards their lotus feet, I should be glad and happy. It's not easy, because seeing is very difficult. Because my mind immediately will say, this is not good, why is she or he thinks I'm bad? But if we can see, actually it is pushing us to come closer to the lotus feet of Krishna, it should be glorified. But if it takes us away from Krishna consciousness, it is bad. If a person just came to temple and he's being chastised and he never will come back, that is not proper. Our whole ultimate idea is, somehow or other, stay in Krishna consciousness and come closer and closer and closer. So any form or shape, whether it's glory or chastisement, why there should be difference? Anything that pushes us to come closer, we should just embrace it. Not only just feel good, we should embrace and glorify it. But if anything takes us away, we should always just be aware and stay far away from that. Any association, even I saw some Gurukul is other day talking about some YouTube. I said, do you feel to chant more after discussing all this? Do you feel to glorify Prabhupada? He said, no. I said, then stop this discussion. You are not doing good for you or anybody. Who is doing good? Any discussion, any endeavor does not bring us close to Krishna is a waste of time. Samayava hi kevala. Is that okay? Yes, Prabhu.
I have two questions. You made the point about switching from I-ness to Krishna being centered in the center. Mm-hmm. And from that comes incredible release of energy, you know, that one won't feel tired. So, is there a reference for that?
Manasya jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Manasasthani indiyani prakitisthani karsati. Karsati means attracting. What the souls are doing? They are always trying to attract everybody else. And you look at the commentary of Balada Vidyavasan Thakur in Govinda Bhashya, he says this attraction has to change. Then it's connected with infinite. He will have unlimited access to serve. So the verse Karsati means he's trying to be centered. I can relate this. In my life I was trying to be centered myself. You know, in Alachua everything is for me. Everybody knows that. No, that's not true. That's not reality. Everything for Krishna. But I used to think like that. Slowly, slowly we divert and then we see that we have energy, we have a tremendous endeavor, we can serve so much.
So, Aradev's commentary.
Yes.
Then the other question, you were describing, I guess the reference was from Jayavadana about the six symptoms of surrender. And then if we don't, was that,
yes,
is that where it came from?
Also Hari Bhakti Vilas.
But if we don't accept that Krishna is our maintainer and protector, then the other ones are insignificant. We may be trying in the other areas, but if we don't accept that, it kind of deletes.
This is in Surrender Song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kari. In that song it's explained like that.
Then the question that occurs to me, and I think it's something that is commonly maybe misunderstood or confused, what does it mean to accept Krishna as one's maintainer and protector? We don't need to get a job, you know, Krishna will just provide everything, or what is it, what actually does Bhaktivinoda Thakur mean in this?
If you spend 1 hour with me, I'll give you an example and you'll grasp it. Because somebody helped me actually with that. In introduction of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada gave an example of the same Saranagati also. End of the Chaitanya Charitamrita introduction, Prabhupada emphasized this. And he gave two examples, I recall. One example he says, one depends on Krishna like a child depends on mother. So I was asking different mother, what do you mean child depends on mother? Can you explain me how? Because I cannot ask the child, because child is child. 1 year old, 6 months old, won't explain me. But what does that mean? So one Mataji says, I take my child to the playground and child is rushing to get out of the stroller. As soon I release it, gone. Sliding, going up and down, running here, there, and it's going. But I said, how the child is dependent on the mother? So the back of the child's brain or mind, always thinking, my mother is there. My mother is there. I'm not alone. I do not have fear. I don't have to worry. Because anytime child gets hurt, cry, knows the mother is there, will cry, mommy, mommy is there. If child ever experienced that actually mother left and gone, never met that mother, which I hope never happens, but never actually proven like that. Mother leaves, that child is playing with other children, but child always thinking, my mother is watching me, my mother is there. So some concept, why Prabhupada gave that example is very sweet. And I think like, wow, everything we do our way to whatever requiring to maintain. But ultimately we come to this point, we don't have a time, but there is a nice story that 1 hour, as I said, one day I'll sit down with you, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur write, I beg all the grihasthas, you sing that song in your house. Amara bolite prabhu ar kichu nai, tumi amar matra pita bandhu bhai. This is exclusively for the grihastha surrendering. If we don't surrender, if we don't make our house Krishna's house, we will have a problem. We should not be artificially saying that we'll go Golok Vrindavan. But it is possible in this life right now. In that song he says, I will earn money every day, work hard to earn money, to bear the expenses of your household family. Whose? Your. Did not say mine. He says, my wife is your maid servant. These children belongs to you, my Lord. I'm serving your devotees. The whole I-ness is disappeared. I'll guard that family because it's your family, your house, your devotees. You may say, well, my family is not really that kind of Krishna. You may think. But look at Prabhupada suggested to Pishima. It's a long story, but in a short concept, those stories we used to recite in Mayapur. I used to carry Pishima, believe or not, in a, not palanquin, but in a chair, from the long building to Prabhupada's room. Every evening, I carried Pishima for months. And those stories are very applicable. It was very interesting. When Pishima went, heart struggle. Her husband was woman hunter, he was into eating non-veg, and the list goes on. And she came to Prabhupada and cried. And she's a pure devotee, Prabhupada also said. She cried. What did Prabhupada suggest? Prabhupada suggested Pishima to take the challenge. Where are the deities? He said, I'm not serving since this disturbance started. So no, wake them up. You should install those deities and serve. Every day she would cook, every day she would clean and do everything and would just tolerate of husband's whatever nonsense, abusive nature. Within a year, he got sick, so sick that he could not even move. Seeing his wife, Pishima, serving Krishna Prasad, giving Tulasi in his tongue, giving garland on his forehead and neck, he could not even move while he was sick. Heart changed. And before he left his body, he became very advanced and apologized to his wife and always cried, "I cannot imagine how fortunate I am to have a wife, such a great devotee of Krishna. Oh Krishna," he would cry to Krishna, "you are so kind to send a great devotee like that." This is one of the Pishma story. It's very sweet. Now, if I'm not saying everybody has to do it, I'm just saying the story. This is a real story, it happened. How much you can handle? If you cannot handle, I had a problem too. When I was going through, I didn't know that I should take advanced devotees because I was not grown up as a culture. Oh, it's 9:10. Okay. Sorry. So like that. So you consult with senior devotee and you can progress very quick. Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bol Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Granth Raj Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Samavata Vaishnavinda Ki Jai.